for us today to be bidden into your presence, O Father. We know, Lord, that as mortals we are not worthy, but something has taken place within us that has made us worthy, that we can approach the throne of grace with boldness, Father. For your prophet taught us in the seventh seal that we are not servants, but we are sons and daughters of Almighty God. Lord, you see our needs today as we approach you, Father. And we know that you're the only one that has the ability to reach down and speak to every heart. Lord God, I pray you would take your word and just anoint it to us, Father. May you speak through me. May you hear through them. And may you live through us all. May this word, O God, of this hour become such a reality that it is made flesh in us, O God. Grant it, Lord Jesus. We know it was made flesh in the bridegroom, and it must be made flesh in the bride. Speak to us today, Father, we pray in the name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Are you happy today? Isn't it a wonderful honor to be a child of God, to know truth? You know, we say it so much, and it's an honor to be in the house of God, but I think it's an even greater honor to be a house of God. Amen. Amen. For His presence to come and live in us and know that our body has become a temple or a tabernacle or a dwelling place of the Almighty God. Let's turn today to the book of 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. I tried to get Brother Biscoe to take one of the services today. I've been trying to use a little pressure on him. Maybe some of y'all can help me use a little pressure and he'll take the services. 1 Kings 22. And we'd like to read verses 1 through 5. I hope I'm not boring you with this same thought during all these services. I know that it's been very, very simple, and I'm not a very deep preacher anyhow, but I made up my mind before coming here and talking about pressure. I've been under some pressure coming here to preach to Brother Biscoe's people because, well, I just have such an honor for him and such a respect, and knowing that God has given him such an understanding of the message, and I say that with honesty and truth, and it put a tremendous amount of pressure on me whenever he called and asked me if I could come, and I said, well, I guess I could. I don't really have anything during that time, and after I got off the phone, I thought, what was the matter with you? Was you crazy or something that you told him you would come? And now I begin to listen to tapes and study and pray and ask the Lord, Lord, which direction should I go? They've heard so much. They've heard everything nearly that could be preached. And I thought, I just don't know which direction to go. And then the Lord lays something like this simple on my heart. And I think, my, that is so simple. But you know, I found out a long time ago, if you follow Him, it's always right. Even though it might be so simple, and yet you think, well, a school child. I told Carol as we went in last night, I said, there's probably not a little old school child last night that didn't understand what I was saying. It's so simple. And that puts a man under pressure, you see. Because in the message of the hour, we want to have substance to what we say, and we want to lead the people into deeper depths and higher heights, and yet we realize that we must do that as we follow the Spirit of God. And I appreciate you being patient with me because I know that I'm a simple preacher, and I know that my southern ways are a little bit different from your Canadian ways, and I appreciate you looking over my southern expressions and my actions and everything. And one of these days we won't no longer be Americans and Canadians and all that. We'll just be saints. Amen. God bless you. 1 Kings 22, verse 1. And they continued 3 years without war between Syria and Israel. And it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, came down to the king of Israel. And the king of Israel said unto his servants, know ye that Ramoth in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, wilt thou go with me to battle to Ramoth Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as thou art, my people as thy people. my horses as thy horses. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray thee, at the word of the Lord today. May the Lord bless you and bless his word. You may be seated. We've been looking at peer pressure, and today I'd like to change it a little bit and look at our peers. Now, Brother Bam said this was a great fatal mistake that Jehoshaphat made, insomuch that he had joined his alliance with a man of such character as Ahab. Now, the prophet used many different adjectives to describe Ahab, and most of them are not good. One of them was that he was a lukewarm church member. Another adjective that he used to describe Ahab was that he was a renegade. Now, I sure wouldn't want anybody to call me that, would you? And here with this kind of a reputation, Jehoshaphat goes down and he not only makes an alliance as far as a verbal alliance and lets his identity be known with such a character as Ahab and his wife Jezebel, but then he also enters into a verbal agreement or a verbal alliance and expresses a union by words and says to Ahab that I am as you are. Now, can you imagine a real genuine believer joining himself up, first of all, with that kind of an association? And then he comes down and he lowers his standard to such a level that he tells Ahab, as I am and you are, we're just one people. My people are your people. My horses are your horses. My motive and objective is the same as yours. And we are all one people. And the prophet said this was a fatal mistake that Jehoshaphat made. Now, he stands here in a great dilemma. He stands here, as many young people do today, trying to pick his associates, or his peers, or his friends. Now, I want to read some things to you this morning that the prophet of God said, and it may be just a little bit hard, and it may be just a little bit strenuous on it for a moment, but I want us to look and realize the importance of the type of people that you and I associate with. Because we know sometimes we cannot pick those people. If you're placed on a certain job site and you cannot pick the people you work with, sometimes there's not a whole lot that you can do about it. But there are some of our peers and our associates and our friends that we fellowship with that we can determine by choice, these are my friends and these are the ones that I'm going to associate with. Now, the importance of it is, my friend, is because we as mortal beings, we are also spirit beings, and we contact constantly a spirit world, and sinners are every day of their life under the influence of another realm. Christians are under the influence of another realm, and it's not that your mother and your father or your pastor is trying to take you away from friends, but they want you to have real good godly friends that are under the influence of the right spiritual realm, because we're trying to attain in this hour the very ultimate of perfection, that the word of God can so be so conformed in our lives. And there's only one way we can do it, and that is come under the influence of the realm of the supernatural. Now, I know most of us know very, very little about that realm. It is here this morning. The angels of God are in this building. The presence of the Holy Spirit, we believe it. He's here this morning, and he's here to influence us in the correct manner. Now, you know, sometimes our children, they look at us and they say, well, now, look, child, John, Jim, Joe, Susie, whatever, you cannot have this little boy or this little girl as your friend. And you say, well, Mama, that's so hard. That's so cruel. Why would you do that? Let's see what the prophet said about it, okay? We'll take that, won't we? A man said to me the other day, while we're not a denomination, he said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I had an honest boy. And that boy is getting to the place he takes everything he puts his hands on. And he said, what is it, Brother Branham? And I said, he's associating with a thief. He's associating with a thief. Now, you're a good, honest boy.
that's raised in the right atmosphere, and all of a sudden, a change takes place in this boy's life. And he starts going into little places and picking up little things and sticking in his pockets and picking up more little things and sticking in his pockets. And Mama knows she didn't teach him that. And Daddy knows he didn't teach him that. So then the prophet of God ties it to the next realm of association. He's associating with a thief. Now listen, friend, you know, even us as adults, we all know we have to be careful who we associate with. You get around somebody that believes an error in this message, and if you're not careful, that same spirit that is on them will get on you, and you'll go to questioning and wondering about it yourself. You get around somebody that's anointed of the devil, that the devil will set inside an assembly, and they're all the time finding fault. I don't like this, and I don't like that, and I don't like this, and I don't like that. And if you're not careful, you will get under the influence of that same spirit, and you go to picking everything apart.
Right.
What is it? It's the association. Preachers have to be careful who they associate with too. We got to pick our company and keep it clean, because these people are influenced by spirits. Then if there's certain children that are influenced by spirits, and our children get around those children, unless there's a greater force in our children, they will come right under the influence of that same spirit. And they go to saying things they generally wouldn't say. They go to doing things that they wouldn't do. They go to wearing their dresses in a way that they wouldn't wear them. What is it? It's an association of another spirit. But somebody said, you hang around with somebody that's a thief, and you'll be a thief. He said, my old mammy used to say, if you lay down with a dog that's got fleas, you'll get up with fleas too. That's right. I want to ask you, how can somebody, this is a quote, how can someone who believes all the word fellowship with someone who only believes part of the word? Somewhere you've got to draw a line to where the peers and the associates that you fellowship with are those that will press you into a closer realm with God. I'm so glad that I have got some friends around this message that have been a peer pressure to me. I've got some men of God that I fellowship with that have been a pressure to me. They pressured me to stay on the word. They pressured me to study. They pressured me to pray. Hallelujah. Oh my, he said, you take a woman that's no good and let a girl, put a girl with a good, decent boy, and the first thing you know, he's as ornery as a pup. Now that's Kentucky language. I don't know if you Canadians understand that or not. But he said, the first thing you know, he's as ornery as a pup. Because you are known by your company. Oh, glory. You are known by your company. Now you're Jehoshaphat. He enters into a false alliance with a make-believe in Ahab and admires what his own standards are standing for. And it brings him into a union and weakens his own convictions. Oh, what a sneaking devil we're against in this hour, my friend. Look, we realize that we're not going to change the world. And let me say this and make it real clear to you. By preaching this way, I'm not saying to you young people that you're going to change all the world. No, you're not going to do it. I want to let you know that before you start. But I also want to let you know this. They're not going to change us either. We're not going to change all of them, but they're not going to change us. Hallelujah. No, they're not. Now listen to what he said in spiritual inspiration. He said, if your associates is taking you into the pool rooms or beer parties, taking you to card parties, cut the thing loose and get away from it. Oh, well, you know, I'm trying to witness to this young man, and He goes into the pool rooms. Of course, I don't play, but I just go in there to let my light shine. The devil's lied to you. You are on the devil's ground when you go into the pool rooms. Praise God. Oh, I'm going down to where they play rock and roll. I'm going to let my light shine. The prophet of God said, you have moved over on the enemy's ground. Amen. We don't have to go over there and show them our light, but we stand right here in purity and holiness and let the Spirit of God draw them to us. Oh, young people, how many have I dealt with in my own church in different parts of the world where they start breaking over just a little bit with a real good motive? You see, if Satan cannot stop you from going on with God, then he will try to take your godly desire and your godly motive and try to divert it a little bit to convince you, oh, this is okay. You want to try to share your life with someone else, and that's a great desire to be a Christian, to let our light so shine before men. But how many have wrecked up along the road because they went on the devil's territory? I know of a man that came to this message several years ago. He got on his job testifying, witnessing with the biblical to different ones, wanting them to come and see the light. There was a woman that worked with him. This was a married man. The woman worked beside him. He kept telling about the Lord, telling about the Lord. She wanted him to come over and have some Bible studies. Well, it led from Bible studies to other studies. Adultery. Huh. In the message? Yes, in the message. Why? Why? Because he didn't know where to draw the line and stop with an associate that would be contrary to the Word of God. To have such pressure from the outside world, and yet to realize we are not of this world. We are in it. We are in this cosmos order, but we are not of this world. We are not of its systems. We are not of the way it thinks. We are not of the way it operates. We are of a different order. The order of Melchizedek. We are not of the order of this world. And don't mean we're to go around with our nose stuck up in the air and say, I ain't having nothing to do with these bunch of devils and bunch of sinners. No, sir, not at all. But yet, friend, the Holy Spirit has to be there in our lives to guard us and watch over us and protect us and help us when these snares are laid before us, because Satan is constantly there trying to pressure us, constantly there trying to get us under the wrong company. He hates you. Now get in your mind this morning. The devil don't like you. He hates you. But I got news for him. I hate him too. I don't like him. None. I don't like him. None. I hate him. I don't want nothing to do with him. Do you? I don't want nothing to do with his associates. I want nothing to do with any of his peers. I want my peers to be godly and holy and righteous and pure. When I get in trouble and I get in distress, I can call to my peers and say, pray for me. Pray for me. I'm going through a battle. And when you feel like you have to have a friend of the world that can understand you, you are anointed with the worldly spirit. Nobody in this world can understand you, young people, like a person with the Holy Ghost. Nobody. Now, I know you may say, well, this person here, they seem to understand me so well, and they don't serve the Lord. I don't know nothing about this message. That's only a trick of the devil. There's no one can understand you like a real child of God full of the Holy Ghost. What's this? Let me see what you look at. This is your life worthy of the gospel. What you read, the kind of music you listen to, and the crowd you associate with, and I will tell you what kind of a spirit is in you. Oh, hallelujah. What you read, what you listen to, what you feed upon. Why? Because each one of us are a little dynamo from within us, and we create an atmosphere. The prophet said, did you ever get around people? And he said, there's just something about them you love to be around them. And he said, then there's other people. He said, they're seemingly nice people, but you just hate to see them coming. And he said, they create that atmosphere. You take a person that's all the time thinking on defeat and thinking of sickness and thinking of how much trouble they've been through. And when you say, "How you doing, brother?" "Oh, God, brother Doc. I'll tell you what, that old devil, I hate getting around somebody like that. I hate it. How you been doing? Oh, that old devil. Bless his holy name. Oh, I'll tell you, that devil, he's been a beating on me. That old devil, he's got so much power. I'll tell you what, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know if anybody's going to make it or not." I hate getting around that stuff. Because they create such an atmosphere. And if you're not careful, they will pull you right into the vacuum of their own atmosphere. Oh, but how I love getting around saints of God. When you say, "How you doing, brother?" "Oh, I'll tell you, I'm going through all hell, but I've got joy. I've got peace. I've got power. I believe in God for victory." Now you just fly out of their presence. Because they create such an atmosphere. You young people, you need one another. You need saints of God. You need even some of these older ones that you can get around them. And when you're down, when you're discouraged, you can get around them and they create that atmosphere. And you leave so uplifted. Oh, so uplifted because they have created that atmosphere. The associates that we get around. The people we spend most of our time to and listen to, you'd be surprised how much of an effect they have on you. And you'll begin to act like them. I've seen people in my church, and when trouble raises up, I guarantee you, I'll tell you who they've been fellowshipping with. I know exactly whose house they've been visiting. I know exactly who they've been listening to. Because the same spirit that's on this brother got on this one. Now he's talking like him. Now he's acting like him. Now he's looking through his same eyes. But let him get around another brother. Oh, and I can tell you where they've been. Why? Because the associates. The associates. The peers. Create such a vacuum. Now think. If sinners can do it under the realm of demonic anointing, and that's exactly what it is. What makes a woman strip her clothes off in this day? She's under the anointing of hell. What makes them smoke? What makes them do all the things they do? They're under the anointing of hell. And that hell pressing its way to, and the prophet of God said, in perfect strength through perfect weakness in 1961, he said the lid has been tore off of hell and demon powers are streaming in every direction. And then he comes and souls in prison now, and he said hell is being created on the earth. But if hell has come up, surely part of heaven has come down in order to make us able to stand the challenge. If hell is pressing up, a part of heaven has surely come down to compensate and counterbalance this pressure. You see, my friends, it's not the people of the world so much. It's not that that we're against. It's the influence that they live under. The influence. And whenever you and I look and think that our own associates can reflect and have such a bearing on our lives. Our friends, our children, our church, creating that dynamo, because each church has its own personality. Every church you go to, the message is so diverse because of the people that make it up. And that body is different from all the rest, yet we're all members of the same one body, the body of Christ. And yet we realize that we as the people of God have a responsibility. We do not want to project the spirit of Brother Miskell. We don't want to project the spirit of Donnie Reagan or some other man. There is one image we want to project to the people, and that is the image of Christ. And the only way we can do it is live constantly under the influence of another peer other than men. Now, I don't want to scare you this morning, but I want to tell you something. Some of my peers I get to pick. Some of them I don't. Some of my peers have skin on them. Some of them don't. Some of my peers are natural beings. Some of them aren't. Some of them are supernatural beings, and I've never got to reach out and touch them and shake their hand. Yet I know they're around me. Because once we become quickened from this world and this darkness and burst into the realm of God's spoken word light, then we have become into a place that we can fellowship. Look, friend, we're not only going to reflect heaven when we get there. If we're going to heaven, we're going to reflect it before we ever leave this earth. The prophet of God told us, he said, you are here what you are somewhere else. The people of this dimension, the very reason they are reflecting hell is because they're reflecting where they're going to. And the bride of Jesus Christ is reflecting heaven because that's where her word body is. What's this? Now this is to you parents this morning. Don't let your children run across the street to little Oswald over there. He may be a nice little boy, but be careful who little Oswald is. Find out what his daddy is and what his mama is. They may be a hater of the gospel, and they may have projected into little Oswald that spirit. You see, young people, mom and daddy don't hate you. They're not trying to be hard on you. They're trying to protect you. A little boy, a little girl you meet at school, and oh, they may not believe the message. They may not know nothing about it. And maybe that child is innocent. But their mama or their daddy once told him, said, that Branham is a false doctrine. It's of the devil. All that stuff is man-made. There's nothing to it. And that little Oswald one day begins to tell your child, and what does it do? It creates a question in their mind. Because remember, friend, we are dealing with the most subtle enemy that any mortal could ever meet, the devil. He's done this for thousands of years. He knows how to do it. He knows how to create doubt in the minds of every individual. And little Oswald, oh, he's nice, he's friendly, he doesn't cuss. But one day he sows a seed in the child's heart. I said, you know, my mama told me that stuff about Brother Branham wasn't real, that all that stuff was a bunch of makeup. And your little child may not say a thing to you about it, but it starts building up. And that child wonders and ponders, and that seed becomes anointed by who? The realms of demons. And the more associates they get that are worldly minded, and it creates more and more and more and more in that child. And that child finally gets to a place, it says, oh God, is this right or wrong? I hear the pastor saying it, I hear my mama saying it, but little Oswald told me that it wasn't true. And it creates such a dilemma inside the child, and the child without a new birth fights tremendous things over and over and over and over again. Because we as parents were not suspicious enough and not prayerful enough to say, oh God, let my little boy, let my little girl find an associate that'll be good for him. Find out what his daddy is and what his mama is. They may be a hater of the gospel. They may have projected that into that little Oswald, and you let your little boy or little girl associate with that, and the first thing you know, he'll come up like little Oswald. Hallelujah. I want my little girl, she'll be 15 in a week or so. I want her around the right kind of associates for this. Have to go to school and have to be made fun of and have to be liked at. Sure, it's difficult for her. Even more difficult for the girls as far as the wear, the things they dress in and all, than it is the boys. But if we can get them around the kind of right pressure, they can pressure one another and they can bind together. And though the world may laugh at them, they gain pressure from one another. Help me, brother. Somebody's laughed at me. Somebody made fun of me. Pray with me. I need help. Pray with me. The right kind of associates. Little Oswald. Or it's turning around. There can be a little John or a little James or a little Bartholomew or a little Matthew. When they see this little young man, his mind wandering astray, And he begins to think about sports and this and that and other more than the Word. And he gets so caught up in so many elements of the world. Now, I'm not against those things, but whenever anything becomes between us and the Lord Jesus, it has become our God. Whether it's sports, whether it's your wife, your husband, your car, whoever it is, he wants nothing between you and him. Absolutely nothing. He wants everything in our lives. The order of everything should be God, our family, and us on the bottom of the list. And when we find ourselves there, how many times have we bypassed the opportunity to pressure one another? People so much they want to do something for God. Oh, if I could do something for God, we bypass hundreds of opportunities. How many times have you known that you had a brother or sister that was going through a tremendous time, a real difficulty? Well, but don't take time to get down and pray for them. Or just pick up the phone and say, God bless you, brother. I'm not called to count you. That's the pastor's responsibility. I just called to tell you I'm praying for you and I love you. Hang in there. You can make it by the grace of God. And we want to do something. We want to do something for God. How would the prophet of God say eternal life was? Living for others. He said, how am I serving him? As I serve you. We can create such a pressure in our family. Fathers, you can create such a pressure in your home. The prophet of God told us about the woman that was a Christian. Her husband was a drunk. And they were sitting at the bar and it was all talking. Oh, there is no such a thing as a Christian. They're all hypocrites. He said, now wait a minute. I know where there's one. That's my wife. I don't believe it. Come on, I'll show you. They go over to the house. They sit down at the table. We want some breakfast, woman. She comes in there and cooks it, real humble little sister. Her life so seasoned with the salt of the Holy Ghost. A dynamo inside of her soul, just creating an atmosphere, just putting it out everywhere she goes. I don't like my eggs fixed this way. You know I don't like them like that. She didn't say, all right, John, I'm going to hit you in the mouth with a chair. Must Jesus bear the cross alone? And all the world go free. No, there's a cross for everyone. And from within her soul began to pulsate an atmosphere. And the pressure got so great in that house, them drunks was led to Christ by a housewife. And them demons succumbed to the presence of the Almighty God by a housewife creating pressure. Glory! Not a preacher, not a deacon, not a trustee. A housewife that was so seasoned by the salt of God and creating a dynamo from within her being because the supernatural power of God was there and projecting from within her soul an atmosphere. And those demons had to come subject. And she led every one of them to the Lord Jesus. Pressure! Pressure! But so much of the time we look at it the other way. Oh, my husband, I tell you what, he's so mean, he's so full of the devil, I tell you, he's pressuring me. But listen, little sister, you've got the creator of the earth inside of you. Don't go around trying to out-talk him and trying to outsmart him. Don't try to hit him in the face, but just keep creating. Keep creating and pulsating that atmosphere. Oh, blessed be his name. What to do? You just be salty, sister. It'll make him so thirsty. He'll froth at the mouth. I've got to get God. I tell you what, this woman's driving me crazy. Every time I come in, she's praying. Every time I come in, she's praying. It's like, my God, this woman's driving me crazy. And so we don't look at it like that. We look at it the other way. We put all the power on the devil. And the devil's so big and so powerful and so this, that, and the other. I just don't believe it like that. Well, Brother Donnie, you don't know my young people. No, I may not, but God did. And you mamas and daddies can create such an atmosphere and hold that choking over them. They get out there in the world, they go to smoking cigarettes and taking dope and all the things of the world. And the peace of God inside of your home, it just creates such an atmosphere around there. You say, look, Johnny, I want to tell you something. We committed you to God. I guarantee you, you're going to be in there, boy. We're not leaving you behind. And me and your daddy is creating such an atmosphere. You might as well give in, boy, because you're going to be saved. Yeah.
Oh, I don't know, Johnny. You're in such a bad shape. We're about to give up on you.
Now, what do you think that does for him? God in you creates such an atmosphere. Can you imagine how God himself looked at fallen humanity when he saw us without a hope? No way for us to be brought back across the chasm as far as human thinking. He was looking at it, but yet God himself so projected himself, and his own love constrained him to change himself and create, oh hallelujah, such a love. You know, brothers, whenever we look at the reality of God and we think, oh, my wife don't love me because I make her. She don't love me. All right, Carol, if you don't love me, I'll tell you, woman, I'm going to bust you in the mouth. Love me, woman, love me. That ain't the way Jesus does his bride. He loves you into loving him. He loves you into loving him. How could I turn down one who has loved me so much and projected such a love? I can't do anything else but love him. Now watch this. Watch your associates. Keep your company clean. Don't you go in the pool room with that boy just because you think you can win him to Christ. If you cannot win him to Christ in the church or at your home or sitting in your car, you'll never do it in the pool room because you're going on the devil's grounds. Praise God, saints. Now this ain't just good for the teenagers. It's good for all of us. How many times in our lives have we come under the round pressure? No, brother, I'm telling you, the preachers around the world inside this message just say they believe it. They are trying to do this to their people. They're trying to put them right under their thumb. If you don't believe this and go here and do this and do that, if you don't get our pastor saved, oh, you're not going in the rapture. Oh, my, such nonsense. And they're trying to create a fear. They're trying to make the people. If you leave my church, I'll tell you what, boy, somebody left my church and they died. People die all the time. That ain't no big deal. What is it? Fear. I'll tell you what, I'm a servant of God. You better watch what you say about me. Boy, you better be careful. Try questioning what I'm preaching. I'm telling you what, you get in trouble. What is it they're trying to create? And they hold the people with such fear. Oh, but I'll tell you, friend, God has poured down a pressure in this last day. In these last few years, there's been a pressure that has counterbalanced that old fear pressure. And it's released the people of God. The camp doors are swinging open. And God's children are being liberated from the pressure of false preachers. Now let's change it from the natural to the supernatural. I want to show you some of the peers that you have once you're born again. Okay? Now I'm not trying to make us some kind of supernatural, spiritual bunch of idiots. I'm just trying to read to us what's ours as the children of God. In Revelation Book of Symbols, Brother Bram said, angelic beings associate together. So fallen angels can associate with fallen nature or people. Right? So angelic beings from another dimension can associate with beings here in time whose nature has been changed back to that original one that the prophet of God said, unfading realities of the living God. He said, you was a part of them angels that didn't fall back yonder in the beginning because you didn't believe the devil's lie. If I didn't believe it then, I ain't going to believe it now. Praise be to God. Amen. I've just now come to a place I can really get under peer pressure of another world. Watch this. Oh, I hope you got that. That dropped down there free, brother. If you got the Holy Spirit, you are a candidate for association with the unseen world and the supernatural. Amen. Now let's talk about peer pressure, devil. You want to talk about how big you are, how strong you are? Now let's talk about peer pressure. He wants to talk about how he'll destroy our young people, how he'll pull them off into this, that, and the other. Now let's really look at peer pressure. He said, whenever you're buried in Christ and you rise again to a new life, a new walk, in a new world with new associates, you walk with angels. Where are they? Where are they? Where are are they, Brother Reagan? Oh, they're just as real in another dimension as this is, even more real in this dimension. Now, my senses of see, taste, feel, smell, and hear declares that this microphone stand is a reality because I can see it, I can touch it. But if I've been birthed by another power into another realm, then it also tells me I have peers, I have associates. Though I may not see, taste, feel, smell, or hear them, but yet from that soul, I feel their influence. And I am pressured. I said, I am pressure. You are pressure. Why don't we have it anymore? Feel this influence. Well, the prophet of God said, the angels of the Lord come to homes that were renowned homes. And he said, that's why he don't visit us. The angels of the Lord visit us any more today than what they do. He said, because people, they dabble in the world. They have this in the world and that in the world. He said, they have old True Story magazines and all this, that, and other. He said, the angels of God can't visit you with that. Oh, friend, but it's not something spooky. They are sent here to minister to you who are heirs of righteousness. Hallelujah. Watch this. Infallibility of God's Word. He said, if along the road some testing and trying, your trial training comes along, remember, His angels will bear you up. He gives you angels to comfort you. Angels to give you faith. Angels to move you along. Angels to comfort you. Angels to give you faith. Angels to move you along. Peer pressure. Peer pressure. Our peers. Glory. Well, you say, I've never felt them. I disagree with that. I'll tell you what it is. Sometimes when we come together, that presence that comes in, I'll describe it to you what the prophet of God said it was. He said it was angels fluttering their wings over the congregation. He said, because you know you don't always feel like this. But he said, it's them angels of God that have come down. What are they there for? They're there to say, come on, child, you can make it. You can make it. They're there, brother, to create a holy pressure. They're there to put a stigma. They're there to put a strength inside of you. Even though the devil, he don't understand what's going on. We come here sometimes and we sit with tremendous battles going in our mind. And we think, oh, God, if I don't get help today, I don't know what I'm going to do. And the devil will see, brother. He will see that you do everything in the world to try to get from getting help in that service. Your mind will be fishing, you'll be cooking, you'll be eating, you'll be going over here and going over there. And the devil said, excuse me, didn't you tell the Lord as you went to service today that if God didn't give you help, you didn't know what you're going to do? All right. You didn't get no help, did you? You know you don't feel a bit different, do you? And you say, well, I do remember saying that. Yep. But I ain't quitting. I thought you said you're... I was just speaking out of turn there, devil. Where'd you get that strength from? Pressure. Pressure. We are compassed with a great cloud of witnesses. Pressuring. Calling. Beckoning. You can make it. You can make it. What was it that the voice kept saying to the prophet of God when he was carried beyond the curtain of time? When he said, keep pressing the battle. Keep pressing the battle. He said, I saw those men there with their teeth white as pearl. He said, I saw them women there. And he said, that 90-year-old woman that I led to Christ. And he said, since I saw that, it has made me press the battle. It has made me press the battle. The touch of another realm. Angels to comfort you. Angels to give you faith. Angels to move you along. I'll tell you what, I about had a runaway whenever I found this one. You know what a runaway is? It's where you just get beside yourself and you just run away. Amen. He said, what an atmosphere. He's in Freeport. He's describing the atmosphere in the service that night. This is 56. This is an atmosphere I wish I could live in forever. Oh, brother, what will it be when we get to forever? Oh, he said this. humble feeling. So it wasn't just a bunch of jumping and screaming and shouting and hollering. That's all right, too, now. But he said this humble feeling. Did you ever find one place where the prophet of God described the feeling of the individuals that come in the presence of the angel of the Lord? Look at it. He says, let me tell you how you feel. You got a warm, sweet, comfortable feeling. The people who missed their healing were the ones who shouted off the platform and never submitted their spirit unto the presence of the angel of the Lord. Uh-huh. But you have a warm, sweet, comfortable fear. How many times have we felt that and just didn't know what it was?
God said they really need some help today.
You know, Brother Bram said whenever Elijah was over there and he prophesied against Jezebel and Ahab and all them systems of the world, and he went down there and he was up on the mountain and he laid down under that juniper tree, God said, I want the angel with the softest hand. And I want the best cook you've got to go down there, and I want that angel with the softest hand to go to stroking that prophet's brow and let him go to sleep. Now this is what the prophet said. And he said, I want the angel that's the best cook to go down there, and I want you to cook him some of them hoe cakes. That's what Brother Ben called it, hoe cakes. Fix him some bread and wake him up and let him eat it. And then the angel went to caressing his brow and he laid back down again and he went to sleep. And that best angel cooked him up some more hoe cakes. And get up, Elijah. Come on, man, raise up. You need some strength. And that angel, that soft hand rubbed him. He laid back down and went back to sleep. Got up again. That best cook angel cooked him hoe cakes. And my, he went on the strength of that for all them days. And listen, friend, the angels of God aren't dead. They may not come down and cook you hoe cakes for breakfast. They may not come down and do that. But they have the ability to come down and minister to you, and we would only realize it. God has all this here at our disposal to pressure us.
Ooh. I tell you, I'm feeling pretty pressured right now.
Ooh, my. Think of it. If the world has access to demons, don't you and I have access the angels?
My peers, my associates. When Elisha was up there that day at Dothan, and all them armies gathered out there, and he stood out there just as brave as he could be. His servant said, my father, we are outnumbered. He said, man, what you talking about?
We ain't outnumbered. He said, Lord God, open that boy's eyes. And he broke him into another dimension. And there he saw angels and chariots of fire. What was it? It was his peers from another dimension. It was his peers. He wasn't afraid. Though there was only two of them, he knew his peers were there.
Praise God. I wish I was up on a mountain somewhere. I'd be running around one of them fir trees.
He knew his peers were there. When you get in the lowest valley, when you get in the darkest time of despair, remember, God has commissioned your peers and they are there with you. You may not be able to contact your pastor. That brother Tom may be gone. This brother may be gone. But remember, the angels of the Lord encamp about those that fear him.
All night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. Oh, glory. What's this? This is an atmosphere I wish I could live in forever. What is it? Angels are walking up and down these aisles. All around these posts in this tent, the angels of God are moving. Their great wings are spread. And that's what makes you feel that way. He said, you don't always feel like that all the time. You don't see anything, but yet you know, you feel it.
God dispatched some of our peers, I believe, for this meeting.
Hallelujah. Although they've not taken up a seat, though they're not sitting here on the platform as it was to take one of these chairs, but their presence has been here because there were some young people that needed some peer pressure from another dimension.
They needed some pressure from another realm because the peers of this age are anointed of demons, and God must anoint his people in a way to withstand the power.
mercy. Whew. The angels of God are moving. Their great wings are spread. And that's what makes you feel that way. In fellowship in 1962, he said, "What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus." There, you have fellowship with Christ, with God, and with angels, with the Holy Spirit, and with all beings of heaven. Praise God. Peer pressure. I've been waiting all week to get to this. Peer pressure. Now, devil, let's compare odds. Let's compare odds. Peer pressure. Oh, them demons of lust, them demons of lying, them demons of anointing, of the other realm, oh, but the angels of God. The full life of Christ, the token, has been released in this end time. We have a fellowship, oh brother, sister, with Christ, with God, with the angels, with all those supernatural beings in that other realm. And listen, you and I in this age, as we come closer and closer and closer to that Word of God, our natural mind becomes so far away from us, it becomes from the natural to the supernatural, when the Word is becoming flesh. And the flesh will become the Word. Under pressure. Pressure. Fellowship with Christ, with God, and with angels. Now look at this. He said, may the angels of God come into the city, the cities round about. May they visit homes. May they stir people. In 1956, Brother Branham was in Parkersburg, West Virginia. He said, now the angels of God have come in this building tonight. And many people had come up and given their heart to the Lord. He said, many more are being called from heaven to come to these new babes that have given their heart to the Lord, that they may teach them the way of life. Hallelujah. Peer pressure. Pressure from another realm. Oh, minister brothers, what is it sometimes when we don't know how to handle a situation and we don't know what to do and a dilemma will rise up and we go to prayer and all of a sudden we pray and pray and pray and we feel that a divine intervention from another realm, it's a dispatch of the presence of the Holy Spirit that has come down to pressure you. Oh, I've resigned pastor in my church not under 1,200 times. Because the pressure just gets so great. And you know, people, I reckon, think preachers are gods. I mean, they can do everything. They have all the answers. They're always ready. If you call them at 3 in the morning, hello, praise be to God, hallelujah. How are you, brother? Amen. And they're just like you. They have to, was you awake? That's okay. I had to get them to answer the phone anyway. You're always supposed to be up. Preacher's never supposed to be down. You can come to church, come here. Does everybody praise the Lord? Hallelujah! But if the preacher does that, does everybody turn in our Bible? People say, what's the matter with him? What's the matter? But you see, he's always going to have a victory, whether he does or not. He's got to display strength. He may walk up there and be sick. He may walk up there. Oh, my, a couple weeks ago at home, Brother Bishop, after the meeting, and I couldn't come to Edmonton. I was so sick, I couldn't understand it. Dizziness. I've been fighting in my head for months. And I was so sick on Saturday night. I come out of there and I had to hold onto the platform and just steady myself like this. Put one foot in the pulpit, one hand on this side and one hand on this side to be able to read my scripture. And just stand still. I'm a moving preacher, so it's very odd when I stand still. And I just had to stand. Oh, Lord, help me, please. Jesus, help me. I told the church, I said, please pray for me because I just don't feel well tonight. And I need your prayer. But you know, whenever the Lord began to anoint me, one foot come out, another hand went off, this hand went off, and I was all right. Until after I got done preaching, and then I was worse. But a preacher has to display strength. Oh, he's got to have all the answers. He's a financial counselor. He's a marriage counselor. He's a pre-marriage counselor. He's everything. He's got to be it all.
true. But sometimes he gets to a place, maybe in seclusion, maybe in privacy. Oh, Father, I don't know what to do. This is overwhelming me, God. I can't do this. These people are so great. Their needs are so many. I'm only one man, Lord. Please help me. Please help me. And God says, you angel, go down there. Boost him up. He needs a little courage. Go down that street. Oh, praise God. I've had it happen to me so many times. I've come to church and say, blessed God, today's it. Not tell them that, just to myself, you know. Good morning, saints. But I think, after this service this morning, I'm resigning. I'll lay rock, I'll build cabinets, I'll pick up popkins if I have to. I'm quitting this stuff. It's killing me. Here I am still 30-some years old and turning gray-headed as I don't know what. It's killing me. And I think, this is it. And at the end of the service, I'll try to get up my courage. Like, saints, I got something I want to tell you this morning. I love you. Why? Because somewhere you are pressured. And something says, now what are you doing? God, I just can't take it no further. Lord, I tell you, I just can't do it. I'm going to have to quit.
What? You quit? Could you show me in your manual as a soldier where I taught you that word? Can you even show me in your war manual? Christ even teaches us the word retreat. It's not even found in the pages of my book. It's not even found, young people, in the pages of your book to retreat. But many people come to Christ as they do into marriage. People come into marriage in this day with this thought in the back of their mind. Well, if I can't do it, I can always get a divorce. And they come to Christ. Well, if I can't live it, I can always backslide. But a real son of God, backsliding ain't even his terminology. I ain't got no way back. My bridges are burned. My roads are blown out. I ain't got no way back. There's only one way I've got, and that's the way before me. And I'm pressed, impressed, impressed. Let me hurry and finish. The prophet said, in the influence of another, the angels of God are encamped about those who fear him. They don't just come down and visit. They stick their tents down. Praise God. So if the devil bothers me very close, excuse me, I've got to move around this angel's tent. What? Excuse me. Pardon me. Excuse me. Because angels are encamped all about me. They're there to comfort me. The prophet said Jacob's ladder was tied up in heaven to God and anchored on the earth to Christ. And he said, all up and down that ladder are the angels of God. He said, if you get discouraged, they're there to pick you up. They're there to lift you up. They're there to encourage you. Friend, this is how it appears. They stick their tents down. The angels are encamped about those that fear him. They are there day and night. Notice, you can't walk with the world except God to walk with you. Angels won't even visit you. Nothing else will but the world. But if you separate yourself, then angels can visit. All night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. All night, all day, angels watching over me. Well, all night, all day, angels watching over me, my Lord. All night, all day, angels
pray. Sing it together again as Brother Ed comes. All night. All night.